Steve and Jill here.
Mid-yawn, hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show. Entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Patella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
When Jill gets done yawning, we'll talk about the velocity of money today.
No, it has nothing to do with this topic. I want you to know it has nothing to do with you. I didn't yawn like, oh, here we go again. We're going to talk about some accounting things. I'll just take a nap. Sorry.
The velocity of the wealth to your happiness, the velocity of money, is very easy to talk about and very easy to explain. And I never get tired of talking about it. And even if you know exactly what it is, it's still just good to refresh it in your mind. Or if you've never heard of it, it's all good.
Oh, goody.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Could you imagine? That's kind of funny. I never get tired about talking about the velocity of money. I never get tired about spending the velocity of money.
Yeah, you know what? We could talk about the outbound velocity of money.
Outbound velocity. I like this. Is this inbound or outbound? Because I have a lot to say about that, too.
We'll talk about inbound and then outbound.
Okay, good.
Never even thought about that.
Yes. This, you know what? Congratulations. Now this topic is important to me. Now I'm in. Okay, Marilyn S. asks, I need help. My processes are all over the place, and I'm wasting time retyping and recreating documents and emails for each deal. You could say I'm the copy and paste queen. I know there has to be a better way. Most of my documents are in a Google Docs, and I'm using Google Sheets to track deal flow. I've recently been playing around with a Google Sheet add-on called Document Studio, but it doesn't work every time. Probably operator error. Here again, I'm taking information from my main deal flow Google Sheet, then I copy and paste it into another Google Sheet to initiate the document merge letter. What do you use? Do you hire a pro to set it up? A lot of what I learned is from YouTube, so any referrals there would be useful as well. Any suggestions would be much appreciated. Thank you in advance, Marilyn. Yes. Hello, Marilyn. What do you want to say?
You have to strive to be a linear thinker. First, I'm going to get just slightly philosophical here. Okay. You have to look at every single task that you do, and you kind of have to hate it. You have to say, I really don't like doing this task. I need to remove it somehow. And not remove doing it today. Reset up the system so that it's altogether completely removed. I use the analogy like this. How many times have you ever gone to a closet, like a hall closet, to look for a tennis racket or something like that? And you know it's back there somewhere. And you end up just completely reorganizing the closet. And in 10, 20 minutes later, you have a Goodwill pile. And everything's completely organized. And, you know, it doesn't probably make your spouse that happy. Or depending on your spouse, it makes them really happy.
That's how
I think of everything. Every single thing I do, I look at it and I say, this is completely unnecessary. I need to relook at this.
Analogy.
So, you know, you have to set up a system. You have to start thinking like this today. I don't care if you're brand new at this or you've done 150,000 deals. There's a whole module in the House Academy program that the gist of it is this. You have to set up a system that's entirely and completely repeatable. And it runs itself with other people without you, or you will never truly scale this business to where it needs to go. So you can take that a million different ways, but you cannot work in your own business forever. Does that mean you have to outsource acquisition decisions? No, but you can do 100 acquisition decisions on Wednesday morning between 9 and 10, and then do whatever else you want for the rest of the week. If you go to the equity planner, there's a version of it in Land Academy 1.0 and Land Academy 2.0 and a really beefed up version in House Academy, which we haven't released yet. There's a flowchart in there. It talks about how to stay organized and what to do. I will tell you this personally, and then Jill can kick in here.
I hope so.
Google Docs.
I'm waiting patiently.
Google Docs is not the way to do this at all. So. And I'm not criticizing you at all because we all have to start somewhere. Go ahead.
Well, Google Docs is similar to like Excel. Or Microsoft is a way of
Google Docs
yourself.
Is a file storage.
Right.
A free file storage system.
Correct.
If you're trying to use it for anything else, like deal flow management or anything else, that's not what it's for.
So, okay. So let me back up and think if I can. Well, that's great, Steve. I'm going to bring it down. You're all up here. And I'm like, she's like, well, that's great, but how do I get there? You told me what I should be striving for and what I shouldn't use. How about giving me some concrete stuff? Just kidding. But so I'm going to tie it in with what you said. You need to kind of like start from scratch and spend a little extra time right now, I think is what he's trying to say. Yeah, you've got a closet jammed full of stuff, and you have a somewhat of a system where you know the balls are in the corner and you know to grab the balls over here and you grab a racket over there and then you're off running. But when you come back, you don't necessarily put them in the same place, so it may or may not be easy to find the next time. So you have to really start over. So, and I there's a lot of different things you have to organize. You have to organize not only your mailers. You have to stay organized on that. A lot of our members keep one big long sheet, and it might end up having 15,000 lines, you know, in a couple of months here. But it's a great place to go and get the information that you need or the mailers that you send, and you can organize them that way. Another thing you need to think about is you have to manage the calls that come in. You need to be managing the sellers, the ones that, the good deals, the deals you're going to accept, the deals you're going to pass, why you're going to pass, why you're putting them off, you know, manage all those. And then you need to manage the deals as you're closing the deals. That's a whole separate piece of the pie, if you will. And then you need to manage your posting your properties and manage marketing your properties and manage maintaining your properties and then selling the properties and then doing the deeds for those. So there's a lot of different things. What were you gonna say?
If you break the anatomy of a deal down, which by the way, never, ever changes.
Right.
The anatomy of a deal has been the same since real estate itself, as old as real estate itself. So if you microscopically break down every single little step and put it in a spreadsheet, which is how I think, some people think in a database, a relational database, but if you take either columns or rows, however you see it, and take every single tiny little step from the beginning of finding a county to do mail-in to selling the property to the end user,
right,
and break down those tiny steps, you're going to start to, and then let's say deal one is on the top, deal two, deal three, the steps are all the same. Here's what changes, and this is good news, not bad news. The tools to do those, to do each of those steps are always improving. That's the beauty of the internet. It was a lot harder to buy and sell property in the 70s and 80s because there was no internet.
Right.
There was no way to know, let's say, Deed Perfect is a tool to do a deed that we provided.
Right.
So you have to, once you get, the closet will be cleaned out when you have that those steps. And I put, they're in the equity planner. If you're
we
a member.
We also want to make a
Marilyn,
system.
If you're a member, this is, I already did
she
all
is.
This for you.
Marilyn, he, I think.
Did I say that?
No, you're right. But Marilyn is a member, I know. I want to say too, don't bang your head against the wall trying to find the perfect CRM because it doesn't exist. But what you do want to do is try to make yourself easy. Here's what I see people doing wrong and wasting a lot of time is they'll sit every day and go through the whole thing to see where they left off. And that's really not what you want to do because you can't go waste 4 hours figuring out what three phone calls you need to make this morning. You don't want to do that. So at the very minimum, start with a good calendar system. If you want to invest in a CRM, there are some out there. You have to make it your own and make it work for you. It's hard to manage a CRM that will handle, I haven't found the right one that will handle property and sellers and buyers. You can have separate, but not together. My thing is though, find a good calendar system at the very minimum and start using that. Free yourself up from having to dig through your desk and the piles every day to figure out what you need to do. So every time that you're and finish a transaction, when you're working on something, do your best to work it all the way to completion of that task. So let's just pretend I'm talking about you had six phone calls that came in today, three people you passed on. So put that in an area, get yourself organized, put the deals you passed on in a special area, mark them a certain way, and call it done. And then you also have to think about, okay, now these three people, I'm going to review these deals this afternoon. Put them on your calendar. Tag those a certain way.
Or if you're using a CRM, and you can do it in Excel too, it should pop up. It's called a tickler system, and it should pop up and say, hey, don't forget to call John Smith.
So, but that's the path I'm going down.
She's got Google Docs and things like that for her specifically. I would actually invest in a CRM at this point. if you're busy and you got stuff all over the place.
You've
inspired
pick.
Me next week, because I haven't written the shows for next week yet.
Yeah.
We're going to call it Organizational Week. Organization and Inspiration
Yeah.
Week.
Oh, I like that. Thank you, Stephen.
Some people think in CRM. Some think people think in spreadsheets. Some people think in relational databases. Fortunately for you, between the two of us, we have them all covered.
Exactly.
Jill and I do things differently, but I will say this. All of them have to have this in common. There needs to be one source document. You need to be going into one spreadsheet or one CRM or one place where everything that you do is in there. And you're constantly, it's on your desktop running while you're on the phone, while you're whatever point in the transaction, the anatomy of a deal you are, it's up, and all the answers that you have to whatever questions the person on the phone has or you might have or due diligence, all of it, it's all right there.
Thank you.
Jill and I went back and forth, and I'll end the part of this on this. Developing a custom-made CRM to make this really easy. And we stopped doing it. Here's why. Because people don't see things. How many times have you... everybody hates learning new software. We all hate it. Everybody knows how to use Excel. Oh. So that was a decision for me. People see data differently. The way I would create a CRM is probably not how somebody else would create a CRM. Plus,
right.
It's going to cost $250,000. The last one I custom-made created... that we still use for Rural Vacant Last cost $250,000. Was it
right.
worth it? I don't think so.
Right.
It basically does what Excel does.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it doesn't necessarily, right.
Today's topic, the velocity of money. This is the meat of the show. Here's the layman's term. The easiest way to describe velocity of money is this. Let's say you have $10,000 that you've allocated as investment money. And you have 12 months to see what the bank balance is going to be, or the equity value of that $10,000 is. What's the fastest, most efficient way to take that 10 grand and make it X? So now you've got $10,000. Congratulations, you bought a piece of property for $10,000. Your equity is placed.
Right.
It's placed in the investment vehicle that you've chosen. You have two choices. You can sell the piece of property that you purchased for $10,000 for $20,000 really fast, like 2 weeks, let's say. But you know it's worth $50,000. So you can take that $10,000 and you can wait 6 months and get $50,000 out of it. Because it takes longer, the higher the price that you price the asset, it takes longer. I hope this is making sense. Is it making sense?
Yes, it is.
So
yes,
let's
Professor
say,
Butala.
Let's say you do that twice. Take 6 months to make $50,000 on that $10,000 asset, and then you spend it again, and you had $100,000 for very simple purposes. A year from now, you created $100,000 because you turned that money twice.
Right.
Well, let's say it takes you 2 weeks to generate off that $10,000, you sell it for $15,000, it takes 2 weeks, and then you plow it in for another 2 weeks. Trust me on the math.
Right.
You're going to have way more money at the end of 12 months because you're moving it faster.
That's it. That's our whole
thing.
That's
the velocity of money. And that's why Rural Vacant Land specifically and infill lots in a lot of cases, because they move so fast because they're priced so cheap.
Right.
And you already know the buyers.
Right.
That's why this vehicle is perfect for the velocity of money. We have members that have found us.
Yep.
Because not because of our methodology for sending out offers, just because of it's so conducive mm-hmm. to achieving the velocity of money.
Yeah, they've done like a lot of our members too have come with us, had a background testing us with houses, and they've sat back and gone, wait a minute. I spent 90 days and I killed it. I made $45,000, right? And I'm like, well, man, let me show you what I could do in 90 days
yeah.
with your budget. You know, if your budget, and they're going in buying, you know, a couple $100,000 homes to make $45,000, and they think that's good.
It actually is good.
You know, it is good. It really is. You didn't lose money, by the way. Most people who do house things, they'll talk about the time that I either almost lost money or, yeah, I did lose a little money on that one, but I got out. You know, I just had to do it. So, but what I could do in our world with that money, man, is amazing. And just by what you said, just by selling it fast at a reasonable price, get in, get out, get a good profit. And the best part is too, it's so much easier on the sell side when I'm not trying to maximize anything. The deal speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it's underpriced, even how what you're selling it for. And so your buyer is running to the bank with your deal that you're offering to them. And they're like thrilled. So it's really, when you think about it, you take a step back and go, oh, it does make sense. Heck yeah. We are not here to be retail and sell it and mark it up and sit on it for 6 months and try to maximize price.
You sound disgusting.
No, I am. I am. Could you imagine? No, and I'm not going to have an open house and do this. Heck no.
No.
I'm not even going to sweep the floor. I'm going to celebrate the fact that I didn't sweep the floor and celebrate the fact that, yeah, it's got a hole right there. Isn't that great? You're going to win on that one too.
Yeah.
I won when I bought it, and now you're going to win too because you're going to fix the hole, not me. This is great.
Jill's completely right.
Yeah.
Cheaper is better. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, you have to undo everything you've ever heard about real estate up to this point, because we're all subconsciously conditioned to maximize price on a real estate deal. I think it's our parents.
Right.
I've always wondered why, when you buy an asset, the whole world seems to celebrate the fact that they're resetting the high value on the market.
I know.
Which is so silly. You never want to be that person.
I don't want to be that
silent.
Person.
You want to be silent, marking it up 20 to 50%, in some cases 100% on rural vacant land, and just burning through there.
Right. Can you imagine, like,
faster's
I'm
better.
Thinking about cars, and we always come back to cars. Like, what if you're a used car salesman? You know, you don't want to walk into a dinner party and say, boy, yeah, I can't believe what I just did. I just sold a car worth $30,000 for, $45,000. Ha, yay.
I wonder why.
Nobody would be like, you're a jerk.
In real estate, they love it.
It's weird. I don't want to hang out with that guy. So...
real estate agents specifically love to talk about some house that they sold for the largest price per square foot in the market. They love it.
Right. Like, yeah, you're right. They want to say,
they
we
pat
reset
themselves on the back.
We reset the market. It's now a $18 million market, not a $15 million market, because look what I did.
Or not in California reality. It's more like, price per square foot.
Right.
I mean, Jill and I had a conversation where both of us were just shaking our heads with a woman one time, where she sold a house in Old Town Scottsdale for $500 a foot. And she was the first person, and she just had a look in her eye like she just had a baby.
Exactly.
And she was the most proud, happy person there ever was. And I'm shaking my head going, we just sold 14 houses at $110 a foot and placed way more money. And the people who we're selling them to are probably going to sell them for $350 a foot. So that's
where you want to be.
You know who wins when you sell a $500 square foot house? The realtor.
Yeah.
Everybody else loses.
Exactly.
Everyone.
That's true. Yeah, you don't want anyone to have that sinking feeling like, oh, we overpaid. This sucks.
Yeah.
It's sad. Thank you, Stephen. That was good.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time for the episode called The Power of Scaling Offers to Owners.
Ooh. And we answer your question posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
This is a long show week. Every day I'm sitting down with you. These are good. These are obviously, do you know what it is? These are obviously good topics that are really near and dear to your heart.
That's
and you have a lot to say. And so that's a good thing. I'm glad. I'm
every
sure.
Every time we have a show like this or a week like this, I get a lot of feedback that says, can you guys just tone it down? Why do you talk about real estate so much? Can you be more funny like you were, 2 weeks ago?
Or two years ago? When you were happy?
The next
just
week, we tone it all down. We have a lot of fun. And then I get a bunch of notes like this. Can you guys stop screwing around so much?
That's true.
And please really talk about real estate. So this is real estate week.
Oh, okay, got
it. Tomorrow we'll horse around.
Oh,
next week, I mean.
It's all good. It doesn't matter. Hey, wherever you're watching or wherever you're listening, please rate us there.
We are Stephen Jill.
Information
and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
I'm teasing you.